You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Empowered. Empowered to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Empowered to exercise the Spirit of God. You know, over the last few weeks, we've heard numbers of times the importance of moving in the gifts of the Spirit and to step out and to begin to exercise what God has given us. And so what I want to do this morning is to elaborate a little bit more on the importance of the spiritual gifts that God has given us. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul lists 9 spiritual gifts. And these spiritual gifts fall into 3 categories. The eyes of God, a word of wisdom. It's a word of wisdom. God knows everything. And he has the ability to impart into you a word of his wisdom. A word of knowledge. You need the knowledge to know what God is doing. It's the eyes of God. These 3 gifts are the eyes of God, is seeing what God sees. And let me say this from the outset. God has given some people in this church these particular gifts. Now, all the gifts are available, but you will find often that the Holy Spirit will impart to different ones in the church one or two gifts that you readily move into. Even though all the gifts are available to us, there are one or two that you regularly move and exercise. Then we have the mouth of God. Who wants to speak on behalf of God? We have the tongues, and it's the gift of tongues. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you do not receive the gift of tongues. That may be a surprise to some of you. You have received the gift of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is a promised gift of our loving Heavenly Father. And the evidence that you've received that gift is that you speak a language, a prayer language to God. If you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have a prayer language that you can speak anytime, anywhere to God. But this tongues is a gift for the church that must be accompanied by the gift of interpretation. And so someone here must have the gift of interpretation. Someone here must have the gift of a message in tongues for the church. Then it's interpreted by either someone in the church or the person that gives that message in tongues. Then prophecy. We all want prophecy. Hallelujah. I want someone to prophesy over me. I love the gift of prophecy. You can all prophesy one by one, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. And then we have the hands of God. You know, there are people here that God has designated, set aside to be his hands. And you are so vitally needed in this church. We see here the gift of faith. And in the gift of faith, for instance, Jesus calmed the storm. That's a gift of faith. I tried to exercise the gift of faith. I was playing tennis in Adelaide one day, and I loved playing tennis. And I knew if I played this day, I'd win. And storm was coming over. Rain was about to fall. And so being a man of faith, man of the Holy Ghost, I said, "Storm, be still." Oh, I tell you, I was drenched. And the tennis match was cancelled. Then we have healings. Notice it's plural. That means you may have a gift for a particular sickness. That means there's a healing power that's on you for a particular area of sickness in people's bodies. That means that there are some of you here that are so vital to this church. We need you. There are people in this church that need you. God is raising up people in this church to cause this church to be active. Amen. And you're active when you move in the gifts of the Spirit. And then there's miracles. It's plural. Miracles. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, that was a miracle. We heard about a miracle offering. Why not believe for it to go over 30,000? Maybe there's someone here that God is prompting you, stirring your heart, that you have the gift to give. Hallelujah. And in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, Paul starts his teaching on the gift by saying, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorant means you don't know. It means to be unaware of what the gifts are and how they operate. And Paul is saying, listen, I want you to know what these gifts are. I want you to know how they operate. I want you to know why they are important to the church. And I don't want you to be ignorant of those gifts. Paul is saying to his church, the Holy Spirit through Paul is saying to us, listen, please, please don't be ignorant of the gifts that I've given to the church. And don't ignore them. How many here would love to move in the gifts of the Spirit? They are for you today. And Paul is saying, I want you to know these gifts and how to operate in them. Don't be ignorant. Don't ignore them. The question is, why was the Holy Spirit given to us? In 1 Corinthians 2:12, Paul says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. You have received the Holy Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And in that category of the things are the gifts of the Spirit that have been freely given to you by God. The things. And so the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, church. He wants to know. He wants us to know the gifts of the Spirit. You see, when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you establish yourself. You actually establish yourself. Listen to what Paul said. He said, for I long, in Romans 1:11, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. The word established means to be refreshed, be strengthened, so that you can strengthen someone and refresh someone else. It's not just for you. Us four and no more. No, it's for everyone. God wants you to learn to operate. So what are the gifts of the Spirit? Number one, they're the tools of the trade. You know, if you're a builder, you need tools. You need the right tools. You can't use tools 100 years ago. It'd take you too long to build a house. You'd be like Noah building the ark. The tools of the Spirit are so up to date. They are over 2,000 years. In fact, they're longer than that, 5 to 6,000 years old. They are still up to date today. They're so modern. And they are necessary to build God's house. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, for his body, that's us, has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. And every member, underline that, every member has been given divine gifts. Every member. Every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all. I need your gift. I need you to operate it. I want to grow. This church needs to grow. But as we operate in the gifts, it causes the church to grow. Then it goes on to say, to contribute the growth of all, as these gifts operate effectively through the whole body, we are built up and made perfect in love. You are building God's house when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Remember this, church, the gifts of the Spirit gives us His ability. The fruit of the Spirit gives us His personality. You need them both. You know, it's interesting that you have the gifts in Romans, in 1 Corinthians 12. You have in Romans, in 1 Corinthians 13, you have the importance of love. In 1 Corinthians 14, you have the operation of the gifts. So love is in between what the gifts are and how they operate. So we operate in love. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says here, but the manifestation, and this is the second point that I want to bring to you. The Bible says that the gifts profit the body. The gifts profit the body. What does that mean? It means it brings blessing to the body. It means it brings encouragement to the body. It means it strengthens the body. It means it imparts to the body to bring us together. And 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit. But notice this, I want you to see this. It says the manifestation of the Spirit, not the manifestation of the gifts. The gifts are given by Holy Spirit. And when you exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you really understand this, but God wants us to grasp it. Every time I exercise the gift of the Spirit, move in the word of knowledge, lay hands on the sick and see them recover, or move in the word of knowledge or discerning of spirits. In fact, discerning of spirit is so vital in our church today. We need the gift of discerning of spirit. There's people here, God wants to put the gift of discerning of spirits upon you. And so you go to the pastor, our senior pastor, Naomi, and you say, look, this is what God's spoken to me. Tell them about it. And they will deal with the situation. We need the gift of discerning of spirits. But you see, they manifest the gifts of the gifts of the Spirit. They manifest the person of the Holy Spirit. We need to manifest His presence. We need to manifest the person of the Holy Spirit. And you do that by exercising and moving in the Holy Ghost. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 12:11 says. Remember, it is the same Holy Spirit who distributes, activates, and operates these differing gifts as He chooses for every believer. Holy Spirit gives you the gifts. Holy Spirit gives you the gifts. I'll show you how to move in a minute. Holy Spirit gives you the gifts as He desires, as He will, because He knows the best. He knows what's needed. He knows that gift that He gives you is going to be so beneficial and a blessing to the house. Long as you know what it is and how to operate in it. And so when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you not only make the Holy Spirit's presence evident, but you uplift and encourage one another, believers as well as non-believers. You manifest the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? Demonstrate His love, His mercy, His grace, His power, His patience with us when you manifest the Spirit of God. Number three, thirdly, the gifts of the Spirit is given to edify the body of Christ. The word edify means to build up, strengthen. And when you manifest the gifts of the Spirit, you build up and strengthen the body. 1 Corinthians 14:12 says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, and you will be by the time this message is finished, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Let's see what the Passion Translation says. This, and that's what's happening among you. It's happening right now. You are so passionate about embracing the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Now become even more passionate about the things that strengthen the entire church. We need you. We need you. I need you. People in this church need you. And you need the people in this church. When you excel in the gifts of the Spirit, you build up the church. You encourage the church. You strengthen the church. You make the church become alive. Who wants to live in a dead church? I better not. God wants this church to be alive, and praise God it is. But there's more to come. And God is one. I want to attend a church that's alive because we believe that Jesus is alive and he has made us alive in him. Fourthly, the gifts of the Spirit are signs to the church that Holy Spirit is moving amongst you. When you exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know Holy Spirit is here. In Acts 4, verses 29 to 30, listen to this. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power, and may miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. He wants you to stretch out your hand. If the gift of the healing is on your hand, stretch it out. Lay hands on the sick. In 1 Corinthians 14:12, it says, so it is with yourselves. Since you are so eager and ambitious to possess spiritual endowments and manifestations of the Holy Spirit, concentrate. Set your mind. Concentrate on striving to excel. In other words, get better and better, more proficient at moving in the gifts of the Spirit, and to abound in them in ways that will build up the church. You know, when you start, sometimes you look at, you know, say for instance you move in prophecy, thus saith the Lord loves you with an everlasting love. And then you stop, you're not sure where to go. But you're in the school of the Spirit. When you exercise the gifts of the Spirit, you actually have entered the school of the Spirit. And Holy Spirit is looking down, he's smiling at you. In fact, he's looking at you because he's right there with you. He's smiling at you and saying, hey, listen, that's my child. That's my boy. That's my daughter. They're now learning how to step out. I'm going to help them. And so the Holy Spirit gets alongside us and he shows us. And I know the first time, for instance, I moved in prophecy, I didn't know what I was saying. And the person nodded his head, so it must have got through. And he felt blessed afterwards, so that was good. But as you develop, as you excel, it's amazing how you develop and grow in this particular area. You know, two examples in the New Testament. There's examples right through the Old Testament as well as the New. But for time, I want to give you two examples that are absolutely crucial. And the first one is John 4. It's the story of Jesus with his disciples on his way to Galilee. And they went through Samaria. It was quicker to go through Samaria. So Jesus, the Bible says, he was so weary and so tired that he stopped by the well. And his disciples went on further to get some food at the nearest town. And lo and behold, this woman comes to draw water in the middle of the day. Unusual for a woman to draw water in the middle of the day. It's usually early morning and all together with other women and in the evening before the sun sets with many other women. And so he is thirsty and he enters into a conversation with this woman, this Samaritan woman. He said, give me a drink of water. You know, when I looked at that, I thought, isn't it amazing how Jesus, he starts with the natural. He didn't say, hey, are you born again? Do you speak in tongues? Have you been washed in the blood? He starts with the natural. When you start to witness to someone, when you start a conversation, we heard it from Nay, when you begin to share your faith with someone, just talk to them. Talk to them. Talk to them. And it's amazing, as you're talking, Holy Spirit then drops into your heart something. It just triggers something, a thought, a word in your mind concerning that person. And you share it with that person. And Jesus said, give me something to drink. And she was surprised. And she said, you know, because there was barriers between Jews and Samaritans. But you see, this story of the woman at the well teaches us that God loves us in spite of our bankrupt lives. God values enough to actively seek us, to welcome us into his family. And as a result of Jesus' conversation, only a person like the Samaritan woman, an outcast from her own people, could understand what this means. To be wanted, to be cared, when no one else did, not even herself, could see anything of value in her. Church, this is what grace is. The unmerited favor. He reached out and touched us. He reached out. He went to places that you wouldn't want to talk about to get you, to get me. And so here was Jesus breaking the barrier of nationality and Jewish custom. Here's God so loving the world, not in theory, but in practice. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak to this woman. When you talk to someone, by faith, you are empowered to be able to speak to that person about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pick up this story from verse 13. Then Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon thirst again. But those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't come here to get water." "Go get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the one that you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet." How did Jesus know she had five husbands? Jesus never relied on his deity, the fact that he was God. He emptied himself, it says in Philippians 2. He totally relied on the Holy Spirit to see what the Father was doing. Holy Spirit, what is the Father wanting to say to this person? He moved in the gift of a word of knowledge. Jesus exercised this incredible gift, a word of knowledge, and by word of wisdom was able to explain to her how to experience eternal life. You see, Jesus manifested the presence of the Holy Spirit by speaking a word of knowledge to her situation. Remember, when you move in the gifts of the Spirit, you may not see it, feel it, taste it, but you actually cause the heart of the person that you're speaking to begin to open. When you move, it starts to open. The heart becomes receptive. The defenses start to come down. Look at what happened in verse 39. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because of what the woman had said. "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in the village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear the message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." Manifesting the gifts of the Spirit gave her opportunity to share the love of God. The goal of manifesting the gifts of the Spirit in the marketplace is to reach the lost. It's not just for the church. It's for those outside. You know, this lines up with the mission statement of Gateway Church. To be loved, reached, included, and restored. So when you talk to a person, take Pastor Naomi's advice, keep talking. Let them keep talking. And what else? Don't finish sentence for them, but just get them to talk. And as you're listening to them, listen to what they are not saying. And also listen to what Holy Spirit is about to say concerning that person. Every time I speak to a person, Holy Spirit, is there anything the Father wants me to say to this person? What's going on in their minds? What's going on in their lives? Help me to hear you, Holy Spirit. I want to be sensitive to you. I can hear what they're saying, and I can read between the lines what they're not saying. Holy Spirit, the most important voice I want to hear is yours. What are you saying to this person? Because when you say, it's words that will restore. It's words that will reach out. It's words that will bring the love of God. It's words that will cause them to be included. So keep talking. You know, as a personal testimony, and I've shared this once before, I do have many updates on this, but these two particular ones that really have left an indelible mark in my spirit. I was flying over to Singapore. And you know, you hear on the intercom or whatever it's called, you know, fasten your seat belts for landing. And so the flight attendant lady, she took her seat facing opposite me. And I just glanced up and the Holy Spirit said, tell her that everything is okay with her daughter. She is fine. She is protected. She is secure. You don't need to worry or fret over her. So I said to her, excuse me, can I say something? She said, yeah. I said, God just spoke to me about you. She said, yeah. He said not to worry about your daughter, not to be concerned, not to be fret over her, that she is safe and secure and God will protect her. She was blown away. She said, she began to tell me the story. She said, every time I go on these flights, I get so concerned. My daughter's 15 years old. And I'm not married. And when I go overseas and on these airline flights, I get so upset and so worried about her. And she actually said to me, are you a prophet? I said, I'm working on it. Not there yet. But you see, it gave me an opportunity. I said, the reason why. Never stop there, but the reason why is because God wants you to know that He loves you, He has a plan for your life, and He wants you to know Him. You have that same opportunity to share in the marketplace. The goal of manifesting the Holy Spirit is not only for the church, but for the marketplace, for us to step out. Ask the Holy Spirit, give me a word for this person. Second illustration we find in the New Testament. It's the story of Paul and Silas. I remember a new Christian thought Silas was his wife. I said, no. Paul and Silas. In Acts 16, they were on their way to Philippi. And Paul and Silas went to a prayer meeting which was on the riverbanks just outside the city. And they led this lady to the Lord in a prayer meeting, Lydia, quite a wealthy lady. And in fact, they led the whole household. The whole household was saved and baptized in water. And I just want you to follow this story in verse 16 of Acts 16. One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who was a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She was controlled by a python spirit in the Greek. It's the python spirit. What does a python snake do? It chokes the breath out of you. Eventually, that's what would have happened. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling the fortune. She was a fortune teller. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they will come to tell you, they've come to tell you how to be saved." This went on day after day until Paul, what did he deal with straight away? Maybe he's just thinking, "God, what is it? What's going on here?" She's saying the right words. She's saying the right words. Yeah. Gift of discerning of spirits. He realized she was operating out of a demonic spirit. Because when she said, these men are servants of the Most High God, who was the Most High God to her? She was under the control of the demonic spirit. And this is what Satan said in Isaiah 14:14. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God." She was under the control of that python demonic spirit. And the Bible says in verse 18, they went on day after day. She went on day after day. And Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon with her, he said to the demon, not to the person. Take note, NB, take note. "I command you in the..." We sang about the name of Jesus as well. "I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her." And the demon came out exactly, instantly that moment. You see, the word exasperated means annoyed. He was annoyed. He was distressed. He was worn out. This is what that particular word means. He was absolutely exhausted. Have you ever felt like that sometimes? Have you ever thought, it may be, just maybe an attack of the enemy? This is how Paul felt. The screaming every day. It was a scream every day, screaming. Advertising what they were doing. And so he commanded that spirit to come out of him. Can I say something? It's going to happen, church. It's going to happen. When God's kingdom connects and confronts Satan's kingdom, it's going to happen. You don't have to go to India to see it. The trouble in Australia, the demons are so sophisticated, or they think they are. Listen to what Mark 16:17 says. This is Jesus now, Jesus' own words. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, these signs..." Amen. Notice it, follow those who believe. He didn't say follow those who are pastors or leaders. If you're a believer and you believe, amen, these signs, amen, should be following you. Amen. In my name. Why in his name? Because he's been given a name which is above every name, at that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In my name, you'll cast out demons. And look at the next line. "And speak in new tongues." In my name. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, this is for you. He's saying it to you. It's God's promise to you. It's the Father's gift to you. It's the Father's promise to you. And Jesus is the bestower of that gift by baptizing you in the gift. And you have an incredible language to speak to God that builds you up and strengthens you. In verse 9, it says, her master's hopes of wealth was now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with rods, wooden rods. They were severely whipped. They went, pat-a-tat-tat, here, Paul, can you feel that? No. Severely whipped. And then they were thrown into prison. Their jailer was ordered to make them sure that they didn't escape, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in stocks. Often in jails in Philippi, I was told as I read up on this, sometimes they'd have with stocks would be on the wall. And so the prisoner would lie on his back with their feet spread apart on the wall. And let me say the ground, it wasn't made of carpet. It was stone-hardened gravel. Put in stocks. What did Paul and Silas do? What would you do in your midnight hour? I've pondered over this. What would I do in my midnight hour? Paul and Silas, around about midnight, they were praying and they were singing hymns to God. But look at the next line. All the prisoners were listening. Hey, listen. People are listening to you. Your workmates are listening to you, how you handle your situation, your difficulty, the problems you're going through. They're listening. They're observing. I see this at gym. They watch me. One of them thinks he almost says the same words. You are a servant of the Most High God, showing us the way of salvation. He said, keep away from him. And the prisoners are listening. They are prisoners. They're listening. Suddenly, I love that word. Suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Acts 2:2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. God is the God of suddenlies. And God is saying to us today, expect suddenlies. We're living in the day and age of suddenlies. Anything can happen in our service, even this morning. Wow. Get ready. Get ready. But I want you to see something in the next two verses. Verses 27, 28. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. I don't know how he saw in the dark. He assumed the prisoners had escaped. He assumed. So he drew his sword and about to kill himself, but Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself, we're all here. Paul, how did Paul know that he was about to kill himself? He was in the dungeon. He wasn't in the palace of the prison, he was in the dungeon, the cellar, no windows. Just the door. His chains have gone off. Could he have said to Silas, Silas, quick. Oh, Paul, I'm so stumped. Paul, I got more stripes than you. Paul, no, you got none. Silas, get going. Find out. Go and have a look in the prison cells. Go and see if who's there. Maybe Paul did a head count. How did he know suddenly? He was in pain. He just a few hours before had been whipped severely. Come on, let's look at the natural first. It was dark. How did he know it was dark? How did he know he was about to kill himself? Because it was dark, he couldn't see. Because he moved in a word of knowledge. He said, stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here. Notice, it was a sudden shout. You know, if you've been whipped many times, incidentally, Jewish whipping is about 39 stripes. Roman whipping's until they get tired. That's a fact. That's a fact. And so we see here, in this state, this physical state, the reaction was so quick and sharp. Stop! Don't kill yourself. How did it happen? Paul operated in the word of knowledge, gift of the word of knowledge given by the Spirit. Look what happened next. The jailer called for lights. Paul already had the light shining in him, and ran to the dungeon and fell trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That's what we want to hear, isn't it, church? They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, along with everyone in your household." And they shared the word of God with them and all who were living in the household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailers cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in the household was immediately baptized. He brought them into his house, set a meal before them. This hardened jailer who gave instructions, hit them hard, and don't stop until I tell you. He's washing their wounds. And then sets a meal before them. Do it again, Lord. We want family salvations. We want individuals, but we want families to come to know Jesus Christ. A couple of little thoughts before I finish. I was leading worship once in Adelaide. And as I was leading worship, I saw this hand go past me like this and go like this in my spirit. Just saw it. In fact, I saw it clearly visible. I said, "Holy Spirit, what's that? What are you saying to me?" He said, "There's a couple here that made a very, very bad decision. And they, unfortunately, suffering the consequences of it. I want you to call them out." And so I shared it. I said, "Look, there's a couple here who made a wrong decision, a very bad decision, and God wants to speak to you. Come and see me afterwards." So they came and saw me. And I said, what's the problem? And the husband said to me, he said, "Well, we've got this house. We still got a mortgage on it. And we bought another house, a property that was much more than this first house, thinking that we would sell the first house and then we'd be able to afford a second house." He said, we can't even sell the house. "Now I've got two mortgages. We're in debt. Absolutely in debt." See, God gave me a word of knowledge, but then you need the word of wisdom to apply the word of knowledge. So I said, "Did you ask your wife? Was she part of your decision making?" "No." I said, "Did you ask God to seek his advice in the decision making?" He said, "No." So I said to him, "You need to, first of all, ask God's forgiveness for not including him in the decision making, because he wants to be a part of your life. You also need to turn to your wife and ask her." She was crying, bawling her eyes out. "Ask her to forgive you." So he did. I prayed for them, and within weeks, the situation changed. They were able to sell their first house and buy the second one, and so afford to be able to seek. Gifts of the Spirit will restore. It will restore. Gifts of the Spirit. When you and I flow in the gifts of the Spirit, when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you manifest the Holy Spirit's powerful presence. And his presence changes the atmosphere and gives solution. Let me finish with a couple more scriptures. Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Never doubt." You ready to say it together? Never doubt. One more time. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest requests, your most unbelievable dreams, and exceed your wildest imagination. He'll outdo them all. For his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Finish with this thought. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he said, "Desire earnestly." Not a casual asking. Desire earnestly spiritual gifts. You know why? The gifts are depleted in many churches today because we never desire earnestly. And that word desire in the Greek means a burning, a fervent boiling with zealousness for a thing, not a casual inquiry. You're zealous. You're zealous. This is not a wanting or wish. This word emphatically means Paul wanted them to possess an intense longing and boiling zealousness to have more and more of these spiritual manifestations. Holy Spirit, put a desire in me. Start igniting a burning desire. Why? Not for me to be seen, but God to be glorified and honored. Holy Spirit to be manifested and people to be blessed and built up and strengthened.
It's a worthy thing to be empowered by the gift of the Spirit. I want to encourage you, if you haven't been empowered by the gift of salvation yet, what I mean by that is you need to have Jesus come and reside in your heart. You need to be forgiven of your sin. You need to turn from your old ways and follow Him. Just as we close our eyes for a moment, now, if you're watching online, whether it's today or at a later time, whether you're in this room right now and you don't know Jesus personally, you haven't been forgiven of sin, haven't been set free into everything that He has for you. And it says in Romans 10 verse 9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. I want to encourage you, if you don't know Him personally, first, you need to be empowered by Jesus so that then you can be empowered by the gifts of the Spirit. Just with everyone's eyes closed for a moment, if that's you, if you don't know Jesus personally, if you're watching online here right now, you don't know Jesus personally, you say, yeah, I want that gift of salvation. I now understand that God sent Jesus to die on a cross for the forgiveness of all the sins of the world. But I have to acknowledge that He is Lord of my life to actually receive that gift. If that's you, just on the count of three, whether you're in the room or watching online, I just invite you to put your hand up and then you can put it back down. One, two, three. Is there anyone this morning? Right. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Is there anyone else? So yeah, I need to know Jesus personally. I need to be forgiven of sin. I need to walk into everything that He's got for me, but I need to acknowledge that He's Lord of my life. If you're watching online, this is your moment to respond right now to anyone else in the room today. So, yeah, I need to do that as well. One person's already put their hand up. Is there anyone else this morning? Yeah, awesome. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there anyone else? So, yeah, I need to know God personally. I want everything that He's got for me. I want to be known as a son or a daughter of God through Jesus. Just with everyone's eyes closed, we're just going to pray a prayer. And this prayer is accepting Jesus into our heart, acknowledging our shortcomings, but stepping into everything that He's got for us. Church, can you pray this prayer together with me? If you're praying for the first time or you've prayed it before, but you know that you've been separated from God, you've been walking your own way, let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I thank You.
I thank You
that You died on the cross.
That You were buried.
And You rose again.
And You rose again.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
I repent of my sin.
I repent of my sins.
I surrender my life.
I surrender my life.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
Believe in my heart.
Believe in my heart.
That You're Lord.
That You're Lord.
And God raised You.
And God raised You.
From this day on.
From this day on.
I choose to follow You.
I choose to follow You.
I'm now empowered. By Jesus.
By Jesus.
And the Spirit of God.
And the Spirit of God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Greatest prayer you can ever pray. If you prayed it for the first time, I know that someone prayed it for the first time this morning. Can we put our hands together and actually celebrate that? That is so, so awesome. Now, on the way out, if you prayed the prayer for the first time or you prayed it again, can I encourage you? One of our host team will be up the back and they've got a little booklet about the first steps of what to do now after you've chosen to. And I just want to encourage you, grab one of those. If you don't have a Bible, grab a Bible on the way out. Anybody in the room, if you don't own a Bible, please grab one on the way out. We want to equip you with that. This is what I'd love to finish with just for all of us this morning. I know we're sort of almost at time this morning, but I just want to encourage you. What now after this message? Because that's the question, right? It was a powerful message, but what now? So even right at this moment, right now, as you go home today and as you're at home tomorrow and as you're at work throughout the week, can I encourage you just to sit down somewhere and say, Holy Spirit, as I walk into my workplace this week, what is it that you want me to say? How is it that you want me to actually reveal the manifest presence of God in my workplace, in the lives of people? When I go into my school, when I go into my university, when I'm sitting on my train, when I'm catching the bus, wherever you find yourself this week, before you go there, can you just sit down for a moment? Say, what is it that you want to reveal this week? Amen. That's what's next. Isn't that good? It's going to take some time. You're going to have to set aside some time. But if you earnestly desire to see the gifts activated, set aside some time and watch what happens as God begins to speak to you so clearly. Amen? God is so good.